Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Good morning. Thank you so much for being here. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway Church, and we are just so grateful to have each and every one of you with us this morning. Got a couple announcements in your service guide this morning. Do you guys have a soap guide in your service guide? Is that in there today? Yes, it is. All right. It didn't make it up in mine, and so I just kind of had a moment of panic there for a second. But in your service guide is a soap guide in what is soap? And so I'm going to take a few extra minutes this morning and explain that as we start a brand new year. All right. How many of you would love to have God speak to you? In your situation, in your life, how many of you would just love that? All right, listen, I want to let you in on a secret. The most common way that God's going to speak to you is through his word. And in this book is alive, it's powerful. In fact, scripture says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And so what we do as a church is we do something that we call SOAP. And what SOAP is it's our Bible reading and journaling campaign. Now I know for some of you, if you grew up anything like I did, you know, a lot of times we were encouraged to read the Bible through in a year. How many of you ever were encouraged to do that? And then you kind of did good till you got to like Leviticus and you're like, I'm done with this. I don't even know what they're talking about. And then you feel bad the rest of the year because you're so far behind, you can never catch up. Well, what I love about SOAP is one chapter a day. I mean, most days it takes less than 5 minutes to read. But what SOAP is an acronym which stands for Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. And if you want God to speak to you, this is how I start my devotional time. As I say, God, I'm getting ready to go into your word. Would you speak to me through your word today? That's as simple as the prayer I pray. Then you read through the chapter of the day. So there's a little outline there for you. You can take that. And if you have the church app, it's also available on there. Just know January 1st, we're starting with Proverbs. And there's no way for it to smoothly roll over. And so we're going to be uploading the new one, but there might be. But just know, start with Proverbs 1 on January 1st. And then you read through, and then as you read through the chapter, there's going to be a verse or a line in a verse that jumps out at you. All right, so, and then what you're going to do is take out your journal, write an S down, and then you're going to write the scripture that God kind of just stood out to you for whatever reason, and then O is observation. This is what I think God is saying through this verse. And then A stands for application. You just write a sentence or two in your journal. And this is how I apply this to my life. And then P is just a prayer. And I promise you, if you do this, it will literally revolutionize your walk with Jesus Christ. And God will speak to you every single day. All right? And so I encourage you to do this. And what's so amazing is I've got these soap journals that are completely filled, and you just flip through because, you know, sometimes you got a bad day and you're like, man, I can't seem to connect with God. And you just flip through and you'll see all the places that God spoke to you and dealt with you. So I highly, highly encourage you to start this journey with us fresh at the beginning of the year. And so we've got soap journals. So we've made it easy for you. You don't even have to buy a journal. We've got them in the back for you. So if you don't have one, see Information Central and take one. A bunch of you probably have five of them, you know, from over the years that have two or three pages used in them. But what I love about soap here, let me just encourage you. If you miss a day, it's all right. It's one chapter. Pick it up the next day, all right? The goal is that God speaks to us, all right? So wanted to let you know about that. Also, Liana mentioned that we have 21 days of prayer and fasting, which will actually start next week. And so some of you are like, 21 days of no eating? Yeah, for some people, they'll actually make that commitment. Obviously, some people have health reasons, so you're going to need to consult with your doctor. But everybody here can give up something. And so you kind of figure out what that is. So we encourage you to be a part of that with us. But typically, Encounter Night is the first Thursday of the month, which actually would technically be this Thursday. We're going to push Encounter Night off to the following week so that can fall in our 21 days of prayer and fasting. So just those of you that need to know about Encounter, or actually all of you should be at Encounter Night, but just mark that in your calendars, and so that will be a week from this Thursday. Well, Monday was an amazing, amazing day for the Lifeway. We now are the owners of 7515 West National Avenue. I I had been telling Shiloh for so long that I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to believe it till it happens. I'm not going to believe it till we sign on the dotted line. And even when we did that on Monday, it was still hard for me to believe it. And then we had a crew of people just hauling garbage and junk out of the building on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And as I was getting ready to walk out yesterday evening, I was just so overjoyed. We have a church home. We have a church home. And so thank you for all of those that gave, those that have made pledges. Continue to be faithful to those commitments, as we're going to need those to make the repairs and stuff that we want to do. We're going to be doing kind of construction in phases, because we don't have the cash to do everything we want to do. And so those pledges are going to be extremely important for us, especially as we get to the spring, because how many of you know we'd sure love to have some air conditioning in there come summer. So please continue to be faithful in those things. And what we're doing right now, just so you know, because a lot of you are asking, say, hey, I want to know, I want to help. There's going to be a ton of work to do. And what we're trying to do is kind of get game plans for, there's probably 6 or 7 different projects that need to be done. And so what I will ask you is to make sure you're following us on social media. We will also try to send some things out via email, because I know some of you aren't on social media. So listen, if we don't have your email, you need to take out your Connect card, fill out a Connect card, even if you've been here 75 times, and put your email on it. That way you'll be able to know what's going on. But we're going to have tons of painting, cleaning, and washing windows, and all kinds of fun things. Fun things to do. We'll just leave it at that. And it's gonna be wonderful. It's gonna be so amazing. We actually a couple of our board members and a couple of our lead team members. Right after we did closing on Monday, the first thing we did is we went over there, put on a worship song, just anointed the place with oil and prayed over it. There's a beautiful spirit already there, even though it's dirty. And I am so, so, so excited. So we're going to move as quickly as we can. We're targeting February 2nd, but you need to just keep coming to church every week so you know when the move is actually happening. As soon as we can get in there, we will be there. But from the bottom of my heart, Shiloh and I just want to thank you for your faithfulness. It really overwhelms me. And I know I'm taking some time here, but it really overwhelms me as we've talked to people who have taken their vacation money and given it to the building. And we've got young people who have taken their entire check of working in, and I'm almost positive it's their entire check because of the amount they gave, because there's cents after, you know, most people just give like a nice round number. And listen, God will bless you. You cannot outgive God. And so, man, I just from the bottom of our heart, thank you. I am believing that God is going to do incredible things in your life. And no, we don't give to get. That's not why we give. But I promise you, what you sow is what you will reap. And so I'm just believing that for God with you. And so just thank you. Thank you very much. Well, we're going to take a moment and give a big welcome. We do have an online audience who really counts on our podcast every week. So let's give our online audience a big hand. We welcome you. We love you and are so thankful for you. Today, we are going to begin a four-part message series called Margin, Making Room for Breakthrough. And really, this series has the potential to transform our lives. And so let me start by asking a question here this morning. How many of you would say that you have seasons in your life where you feel stressed out? Come on, let me see your hands. Come on, seasons of your life where you feel stressed out, all right? You can put your hands down. I'm asking another question. How many of you would say, you know what? The bills just keep coming in. We haven't even thrown the wrapping paper out, and the bills already come in. I'm feeling stressed about that. Or maybe I really wish that I had more time for myself, for my kids, for my family. I feel like all I do is run. Come on, anybody here say yes to that? Here's another one. I'd like to serve. I'd like to be a part of the amazing dream team at the Lifeway or 414 Church, but I'm so far behind in every area of your life, I can't even do anything else, right? I think all of us could probably nod our head at one or two or even more things in life that stress us out, because we live in a culture that really pushes us to the limits. Buy more. do more, accomplish more, conquer more, 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 more. And most people, if I'm being honest with you this morning, most people are living their lives at a pace that is unsustainable. And even our children face this. There are elementary kids, age kids, that on top of going to school and their homework have activities four nights a week, not to mention the things that they're involved with on the weekend. And for many of us, the schedules, and I'm already preaching, the schedules that we impose on our children are not only stressing them out, but they're stressing us out. And so if someone were to ask you, hey, are you really enjoying your life? A lot of us would respond, no, and I don't have time to talk about it. I gotta go. Virtually everyone that I know has little to no margin in the most important areas of their life. And so I want to start by sharing what we're going to use as a working definition of the word margin, a working definition for this series. The first blank in your outline, I encourage you to pull it out, follow along with us, take some notes. The scriptures are in there as well. Margin is the amount available beyond what is necessary. It is the amount that you have that is available beyond what is necessary. Another way to say it is that margin is the difference between what you have and what you need. And so if I have 30 minutes to get somewhere, to go to an appointment, and it takes me 20 minutes to drive there, I have what? 10 minutes of margin. If I have $100 in my bank account with $80 worth of bills, I've got $20 of margin. Margin is the difference between what you have and what you need. And so I want to share a few examples with you, just real practical things as we get started of how to live with margin in our everyday lives. Margin is making a commitment to show up 10 minutes early to a meeting or work every day so that you don't get there stressed out and being an aggressive, crazy driver. Somebody said amen, right? Man, I want to buy like 414 church stickers for our car windows, but honestly, I'm a little bit scared because I've driven behind some of you. A lot of that comes down to margin. A lot of that comes down to margin. If we just take a few extra minutes, we wouldn't be mad or driving through a yellow, well, red, we say yellow, but gosh, you know it's red when you're going through because you know you can't sit there at that 4-minute light on 27th and Layton right there. You know that's literally 4.5 minutes long. Margin is working off a written financial budget so you have money left over at the end of the month. Margin is putting distance between you and your temptation. Well, instead of living on the edge, you put up guardrails in your life to keep you from destructive behavior. Living with margin, watch this, it will allow us to gain the emotional capacity to deal with the problems that arise at home. How many of you ever noticed sometimes, like you can take all kinds of garbage at work, and you just take it and they just shovel it on, and then you go home and the littlest thing just, boom, sets you over the edge, and you tear your kids up or your spouse up and down. Listen, all of that comes down to the fact that we don't have enough margin in our life. And so when our spouse or our child comes in and brings bad news, you know, we tend to explode and unleash on them because we're living overwhelmed lives. And so when we learn to live with margin, it gives us the emotional capacity to deal with struggles. Margin is having 3 or 4 nights a week where you don't have anything else on your schedule. Margin is having extra time or money to invest and give to people in ministries that you love. Margin, watch this, is having the time to think, to reflect. When's the last time you reflected? To meditate. Here's one for a lot of us adults, it's been a long time. Margin gives us the time to dream. When's the last time you dreamed? Margin is having time to spend with God in worship, to soap, to pray beyond, you know, a quick, you know, God bless this food type of prayer. Amen. Margin is probably the most common thing that all of us in this room share that we do not have enough of. But here's what I want you to understand. I am convinced that the best things in life happen in the margins. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, is a story about two women, one of which decided she didn't have margin, while the other created created it to experience something special. I want to read this story to you. Luke 10, 38, starting in verse 38, it says this: as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And this woman had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. I'm going to pause right here. So we've got these two women, Mary and Martha. They both have the exact same opportunity. Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, was present in their home. And I'm sure that day Mary had plenty of chores to get done. There was probably laundry to do and groceries to buy and dusting the house needed to happen. But instead, she pushed all of that aside and decided to create a moment. She made the choice, I'm going to set aside the trivial, and instead I'm going to embrace this opportunity, and instead I'm going to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. And so Martha, on the other hand, she was really like probably most of us in this room. She was really distracted. She was probably freaking out a little bit. I mean, imagine if Jesus Christ is coming to your home this afternoon. You'd be bolting out of here as soon as I say closing, because you got some things to clean up, because Jesus is going to be there. But I want you to understand, I want you to notice that Martha was not distracted by something that was bad. She was not distracted by something that was evil. She was actually distracted by what many of us would consider to be good things, right? A clean home is a good thing. Eating food is a good thing. And she was thinking, Jesus is in my house. He's the Son of God. He's performed all of these miracles, so I better dust off the good china and polish up my silver utensils. I've got to make sure that the candle is lit, and I've got to make sure that the bathroom towel matches the shower curtain. All my OCD people say amen. And so I want you to recognize that it was a distraction over good things that kept her from the best things. Somebody once said that if Satan is not able to tempt us to fall into sin, his second choice is to make us extremely busy. Some of us have become so busy at doing lesser things that we then miss out on the most important things. Now, as preparing this message, as I was reflecting and looking back over my life, I'm ashamed about the times that I chose work over my wife. I was ashamed of the times I chose work over my children. How many times I thought, would you stop distracting me? Can't you see that I'm trying to get something done that is important? And all the while, God was trying to get me to recognize that my family was not the distraction. My important work was the distraction. Some of us need to learn to put the computer away, to put the cell phone down, to turn off the video games, to put social media away, and stop missing the moments that are right in front of us. Because far too many of us, we are consumed, we are obsessed, we are possessed with accomplishing the urgent while the most important things simply go by. So Mary and Martha, they're in the middle of this situation. The verse story continues in verse 30. Martha comes up to him, being Jesus, and says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? You, Jesus, you tell her to help me. Now, I don't know if any of you have siblings in the room, but that sounds awfully like a lot of the conversations I had with my parents about my siblings when I was young, growing up. I was like, hey, would you tell Brian to do something? Heather's just sitting there. Why don't you make her? She never has to do anything. Come on, you know you had a sibling in the house that never had to do anything, right? Those of you that aren't clapping, you were the one. But this is what I want you to see. Martha was absolutely convinced that what she was doing was correct. She was saying, this is what's important. I'm in here doing this work while my sister's just being lazy. Jesus, take my side. And therein lies the greatest challenge that I have in bringing this series of messages to you. Because most of us are convinced that the way that we're living right now is necessary and appropriate. Some of you are gonna think, well, this is just the way that we have to live. This is just what my job requires. You've convinced yourself that busyness is what matters and is required to be successful in this world. And there are so many people today, hear my heart this morning, there are so many people today who are destroying their marriages and their families and their future and their potential to alter eternity because they don't have margin in their lives. And that's why the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 12:2 are so important. Watch what he says. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing, everybody say changing, the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to transform the way that we think about how we spend our lives. God has a better way for his children. Does anybody believe that this morning? What I'm going to teach over the next few weeks will be challenging. For some of you, we're going to hit into some really particular things. It might even rock your world a little bit. You might be tempted to brush it off and say, well, yeah, Pastor, I hear what you're saying. I probably need to make some minor changes in my life. And so listen, as we head into a new year this week and a new decade, I'm not challenging you just to make a few minor changes because all of you are bright people. If minor fixes would make the difference, you'd have done it a long time ago. Instead, I want to challenge you to make some radical, life-altering decisions to make room for a breakthrough year. Anybody looking for breakthrough in their life? Anybody got some things that they're looking to get rid of in 2020? And so I'm convinced that there are way too many of us living a way that's completely contrary to God's best for us. And so we need to make the choice, I'm going to leave some stuff behind. And so Martha says, Jesus, would you please tell Mary to help me? I'm working hard. This is the way that it should be. And watch how Jesus responds. Verse 1, Martha, Martha. Come on, how many of you know when someone says your name twice in a row, like that's not a good thing, right? Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus was saying, Martha, with your production mindset, you're missing the moment that's right in front of you. And God is preparing us as a church in 2020 for some incredible moments. I believe that there are moments coming in the next 12 months that will completely blow our minds. But will we be spiritually aware enough to capitalize on them? And here's what we all need to understand this morning. The choice is ours. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. And you're going to be tempted to fight back. And throughout this series, you're going to say, well, Pastor Andrew, you just don't understand. You only work 4 hours a week. Pastors just golf, and then they get up and talk for 30 minutes. They don't have to do anything, you know? You don't know what the real world is like. You don't know what it's like to have financial pressure. This is the way my life has to be. No, no, no. The choice is yours. The choice is always yours. And if you choose what is right like Mary did, listen, Jesus says, it will never be taken away from you. And so in our remaining time this morning, I want to give you two things that will happen. You can mark it down. You can write it down. You can take it to the bank. It will draw interest. Two things that will occur when you live a marginless life. Here's the first one. When your margin decreases, number one, your stress increases. Your stress increases. Some of you this morning on your way to church, you were running late. And it wasn't your fault, was it, right? It was someone else that drove in the car with you, right? And so as your margin decreased, the stress increased. So in the car, on the way to church, mind you, in the car, on the way to church, you were saying, or at least thinking, come on, I'm telling the truth here. Some of you said it, some of you were thinking it, all sorts of ungodly, unkind things. Why can't they just get up on time and get out of the bathroom so we can get to church, right? Oh, come on, I'm not the only one who had a fight on the way to church. Then you start picking at each other, and you're like, these are like the best. You always. You never, right? And no you, and no you, and then you just pick, and then you're like, why don't you just shut your mouth, you're cotton-headed ninny mugging, right? There's a great Elf reference for those of you that didn't know what that was. Then as you get out of the car, you can hear the first song ending, and you get even more mad. You just want to, like, elbow your spouse, like, give me this first song. I'm not even getting any coffee and donuts today, man. And you pull together, you walk up to the door. You know, one of our amazing greeters, I think Nicole was out there today, and she smiles, and you're like, hi, how are you? Like, everything's all good and fine. Some of you, you want to elbow the person sitting next to you right now. Listen, don't do it. Don't do it, all right? No elbows in church. And we laugh because it's true. The same is true financially. If your financial margin decreases, what happens? Our stress increases. And this lack of financial margin, it literally harms our marriage. And so we start fighting. You spent what on what? Don't we have 18 of those things? You did what? And so we find that in our lives, as margin decreases, our stress rises. Here's the second thing. Number two, as margin decreases, your relational intimacy decreases. Your relational intimacy decreases. And listen, I'm preaching this morning to someone who's overwhelmingly busy. And you're sitting here, you're frustrated, you're challenged. Your mind rarely disengages from the things that you think are important. You can even be with somebody you love, but you're not really with them. You're present in body, but your mind is a million miles away. You can even go on vacation, but you're never even there because you're still connected to some kind of emergency at work that needs your attention. Can I just tell you the truth? I've experienced this in my own life. That company that you are giving everything to, I promise that you are not as important to them as they are to you. Some lawsuit's going to be awarded. The funding source will dry up. Ownership will change. Contracts will be lost. Technology is going to shift, and without hesitation, they will help you pack up a box of your personal belongings and pat you on the back as you drive out the parking lot the last time. Listen, don't sacrifice those you love. The ones you love most for a company that will do whatever they have to do to protect the bottom line and protect their own jobs, even if that means letting you go. That's just good preaching. I don't care what you said. It's true. Your relational intimacy, it not only decreases with people, but it also decreases with God. I can't count how many times I've said to people that I haven't seen in church for a while, not to make them feel bad. I legitimately miss seeing you guys when you're not here. And I'll say, oh, I've missed you. And they'll respond, yeah, I really want to be there. I really want to come. I've been so busy. Or I'll ask them a question, hey, how's it going with your relationship with God? And they'll respond, oh, man. We used to be so close. I used to soap every day and God would speak to me. I used to be good about spending a few minutes of time with God, but I just got too busy for people, too busy for God. And we tell ourselves over and over, oh, it's normal. This is just a season. But year after year and month after month, it just slips by. I want you to understand, it's not normal. That's not how God calls us to live. It's not healthy. And what'll happen is if you let this go too long, in a blink of an eye, you'll wake up one day and your spouse is ready to walk out, your kids can't stand you, and you have nothing left. Your marriage is in danger of collapse. Listen, I want to challenge you. Hear me this morning. Don't play that game. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. So why is it that so many of us, we live marginless lives? Why is it that so many of us plan on slowing down one day, but we never actually do it? Why is it that very people take the house that they cannot afford and sell it in order to downsize and create some financial margin? Why is it that we say that money doesn't make us happy, yet so many of us fight and scrape and will do whatever it takes to get more? Why is it that we do not radically cut back on our schedules to spend time with our spouse and with our children? Why is it that many of us struggle with illness and pick up every virus that goes around because our immune systems are worn down because we're stressed out? I want to tell you what it is. The bottom line is this. Most of us don't fully trust God. We don't have enough faith to really believe that he sits on the throne, that he will handle the details of our lives, and that his way of doing life is so much better than ours, and it's so much better than the lifestyle that our culture espouses. And we're afraid that if we're not going and going and going and doing and doing and doing, then we're going to miss out on that elusive something that is going to finally fill the void that we feel so deeply in our hearts. Gotta work harder. Gotta make more money. Gotta have the nicer this or that. We've gotta be at the meeting. Gotta. And it's insane. Let's just be truthful. For most of us in this room, this year, as we close out the year, you've made more money this year than you have in your entire lives, yet many of us are battling financial stress more than we ever have before. Most of us in this room have better opportunities to do greater things than at any other point in our lives, and yet we are more empty and we are more exhausted. Why? It's because we're filling our lives with things that do not matter. You know what the Bible calls it? Idolatry. You would say, well, I would never put an idol up in my house. Yeah, you may not put in a statue like that. I would never be. Yeah, but we do it every day with all kinds of things. We are of elevating even good things to become supreme things as God in our lives. That's what idolatry is. We are distracted by all the production and all the worldliness, and we got to work harder, and we tell ourselves if we work harder and if we finally get a bigger house, that's going to help my marriage. We got to get a nicer car because it's going to make me feel good about myself. But because of the big house and the new car, fancy car, I've got to get the promotion now so I can sustain this lifestyle that I created. Got to be at that meeting so they'll think well of me because my self-worth hinges on what other people think about me. I've got to have my kids involved in the best of all the opportunities because my little Johnny or my little Susie has the it factor and they're going to be Olympic and professional flute players. I had to say flute because if I said some other things, some of you would never come back to church. Come on, what kind of spiritual legacy could we create in our children if we invested in them as much spiritually as we did in their activities? And no one wants to say amen there. Got to have the perfect body, even at the expense of ignoring my soul. And I want you to hear my heart this morning. The truth this morning is that this behavior is killing us, and it's killing our marriages, and it's killing our families. It is not God's best for us. So I want to challenge you this morning. It's time for a come to Jesus meeting. Please don't ignore this series and sweep what I'm teaching under the rug to deal with another day. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, listen to this, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Let me put that in 2019 talk. Come to me, all who are stressed out, overwhelmed, and no matter what you do, you can't seem to get it all done. Come to me, all single parents who feel as if you're about to fall apart. Come to me, businessman or woman who feels like you're going to lose it all. Come to me, mom who has no margin, no time for herself. Come to me, those who are overwhelmed and feel insignificant if they're not busy all the time. Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and I am gentle at heart, and I love this, and you will find rest for your souls. Let that phrase sink in for a moment. Rest for your souls. Peace, assurance, tranquility. Come to me and you will find rest for your soul. Psalms 46:10 tells us, be still and know what? That I am God. So many of us in this culture have lost the art. We don't know what it means to be still. We don't know what it means to be quiet. There's always a radio on, a phone on, a TV on. We are inundated. It is never silent. Be still and know that I am God. And I wish I could stand up here this morning and tell you that I've done well in this area in my life, but I've fallen short so many times. And so as we prepare to start a new year, I want to give you a simple, practical step to take along with your soap journaling. This assignment, I want you to do it every day this week, is to take 5 minutes, 5 minutes every day where you don't produce anything. Don't do nothing, don't clean nothing, don't pick nothing up, sit in the chair, turn everything off, don't think about anything other than sitting in God's presence and close your mouth and listen. For me in my life, it's so strange. I'm like, God, why do I get, I was praying about this. God, anybody ever notice that you get like the greatest ideas in the shower? And so like one time I was just asking God, like, why do all these things hit me? And then I'm like all wet and like, how do I, you know, pull out my phone and get electrocuted? Or, you know, like, how do I write it down? And then the paper's wet and so I asked, why does this always happen in the shower? And God's like, it's the only time you shut up the entire day. It's the only place that it's quiet. It's the only place that we're distraction free. Listen, this 5 minutes when you do this is going to begin the process of creating margin in your life. And God will meet you and he will give you the rest that you are so looking for. You don't have to live stressed out lives. I love this verse of scripture, Isaiah 58:11. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry. Anybody dry here this morning? And restoring your strength. Anybody feel weak here this morning? God will guide you continually, giving you water when you're dry and restoring your strength. Watch this. You will be a well-watered garden. If you ever have the opportunity, we've been able to travel quite a bit over the years because of ministry, and there's a beautiful property in Nashville. It's called the Gaylord Opryland Hotel, and you walk in and they have some of the most incredible gardens all indoors. So year round you go and there's flowers blooming. It is one of the most they've got rivers through it. I mean, it is absolutely incredible. And so what God is saying is, if you will let me guide you, you're going to be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. You're going to be a place of beauty that people are just going to just be drawn to you because there's something special about you. So I want to challenge you. So many of us today, we're living stressed out. We're not the spouse we should be, the parent we should be, because we've stopped going to the source. We've stopped plugging in to Jesus Christ. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around this morning, I want everyone to just listen carefully. There are many here right now that I know that God has you here for a specific reason. Because as you look over your life, you recognize that you've been on a lifelong search. You've been on a quest trying to find something. And you've thought, there's got to be that something out there that's going to fill the emptiness, that's going to fill the void in my life. And I want you to look at your life, because chances are you've already accomplished, you've already achieved so much of what you thought was missing. You got the job, you got the promotion, you started the business, but still you're empty. You got the raise, but still you're empty. You got to take that exotic vacation, that trip you always dreamed of taking, but still you're empty. You got that thing that you had to have, but a few days later, you're still empty. You're searching and you're driving and you're pushing and you're taking good things and you're trying to place them in a supreme place in your life. You've settled for the lower things of this world rather than the higher things of God's kingdom. And there are so many people who call themselves Christians who are simply pursuing worldliness in the name of Jesus Christ. Because I want you to know, you and your goals are still on the throne of your life, and that is not Christianity. God sent his son, Jesus, first of all, to live a sinless life and die so that our sins could be forgiven. But listen, Jesus didn't come to make us religious. He came so that we could have life, and so that we could have life more abundantly. And this morning, listen, I am not saying come to Jesus for a better life. I am saying come to Jesus because he is better than life. Come to him in your brokenness. Come to him in your sin. Come to him in your weariness. Come to him in your stressed out state. Come to him and you will find rest for your souls. You will find forgiveness. You will find healing. You will find wholeness. You will find peace. And so those in this room who recognize the fact that you're not walking with Jesus, what a great way to close out a year and start off a new one. And so if you're ready to surrender it all to him, if you're ready to commit your life to follow him, if you're ready to repent of your sins, listen, you can leave here this morning forgiven, set free, and with a fresh start. And so if that's you, I want to pray for you. So why don't you just lift your hands? Is there anybody here today who says, I'm ready to say yes? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the power of your word. Lord Jesus, and I thank you for that these hands that have been raised. And so, Lord Jesus, we come to you in our broken state, in our weary condition. And Lord God, we just extend our hands. We open our hearts wide. We ask you to come and dwell inside of us. Lord, today we repent, which simply means we're sorry for the wrong we've done, and we're going to stop going our own direction, and we're going to move towards you. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be set free and to be made new, Lord Jesus. Lord, we give you the praise. Lord Jesus, for everyone else in this room, there are so many of us that are struggling with this margin issue in our lives, this margin place in our lives. And Lord God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just that you would convict us in the areas that we need to change. Convict us in the places that we need to move. Convict us in the places that we need to grow, Lord Jesus, because I believe for each and every person in this room, in this new year, in this new decade, you have a season, a breakthrough for us. And so speak to us. But Lord, let us not just be hearers, but Lord God, let us be doers. Let us put into action. Some of us need to go home today, Lord, and make some apologies to our spouses, to our children, Lord, to those that we've hurt, Lord Jesus. And Lord God, we need to set some priorities back in their proper place. And we just ask this all in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.